No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Dave Manouk. We gave Mr. Ginsberg the night off. You know, we can't afford all of his contractual demands. They're just too high sometimes. So Dave and I will bring you the latest from the Winnipeg Jets, their victory tonight.
Unexpected.
Anaheim Ducks. Unexpected indeed, Mr. Dave. All of a sudden, it certainly looked like it was they pulled a rabbit out of the hat, as the magician saying goes. A crazy comeback just when it looked like the Jets might fall to the hands of the Anaheim Ducks. Nikolaj Ehlers with an absolute snipe to tie the game. And then 19 seconds later, the Jets get a fortuitous bounce, a deflection off a couple skates. It's given to Paul Stastny. It turns out to be the game-winning goal. And boom, the Jets have now won three games in a row and have take tonight's victory by a 4-3 margin. You know, Dave, I was thinking, you know, as I was watching the end of the game there, and it really looked like the Jets were struggling. They were struggling to get out of their own zone after Trevor Zegras scored to give the Ducks the lead there after another terrible turnover by the Winnipeg Jets. I was thinking to myself, and it's still could probably be, you know, accurate, that this was the first game where I thought the Jets really missed Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele, more Scheifele than Wheeler, obviously. I just thought they looked a step behind and you know, a step slower than the Ducks as the game certainly got it later in the stages of the third period. I got to thinking that the 11-7 was catching up to them, the sort of the limited roster and the roster not being what you would want it to be at. I thought this was the first game where you were going to see that rear its ugly head against the Winnipeg Jets. Lo and behold, they made me eat my words before I even spoke them, and they take that 4-3 win over the Ducks.
I think the Jets were just being respectful of the fact that they knew the IC merch dropped today.
That's true.
And that
true.
They didn't want people to come into the chat and be all fired up and mad and angsty. They wanted people to be happy. So as a result, they pulled, as you said, a rabbit out of the hat, and not maybe necessarily a new era Legal Curve hat. I don't know. Maybe that's what they did. But yeah, the IC merch dropped today. We've got the thing. People are asking why the fire is out. Well, without Ezzy, I had a location change. I decided to make a, you know, oh, see, Genghis Khan already bought his IC shirt. That's great. Thank you, Ken. We appreciate it. Getting lots of reports of folks buying their merch, which is awesome. And the story's up, IC Locker Room. I've got a link to it on the legalcurve.com website that you can just go and follow that link, and you can see all the different items. You can go and buy from my store, True Store, Ezzy Store.
They're all the same. It all goes back to the same. It all goes back to the same
spot afterwards. And in fact, it's not as if I had anything different to do than Ezzy or Drew. So anyway, so no, it was unexpected for sure. I mean, it was a horrible first period. It was one of the most boring first periods I can recall watching. And I jokingly said, I think I understand. Oh, Joe from Winnipeg, he's been asking us for a long time. But you know what? It was one of those, it was funny, I joke saying, like, first of all, where was the crowd? Was anybody at that game? I was going to make a joke saying I thought it was the Gulls playing, but the reality is the Gulls are like one of the best drawing AHL franchises. So that'd be an insult to the Gulls because nobody was there in the first period, at least. And it was a hard period to watch because both teams weren't really doing anything terribly exciting. Jets obviously spent part of the second period. Ooh, Johnny, I don't know if I'd want to be Drew for Halloween. But you'd be scary. You'd scare kids. That'd be the good thing.
I think John is onto something there.
But, you know, I mean, obviously the Jets had some penalty killing to do in that middle frame, obviously. And and
good news for the Jets penalty kill tonight. They were perfect. I believe the Jets had three penalties, if I'm not mistaken. The Ducks only had one penalty, and neither team scored a power play goal. So for the Winnipeg Jets to not give up a power play goal in tonight's game, that was certainly a positive for a team that's been desperately seeking a positive when it comes to their penalty killing. So they got that tonight with the victory and without the Ducks being able to get any blood on the man advantage.
Yeah, and you know, we just saw how dynamic it was. Funny because I like just before when the Jets were down, I was like, just give it to Ehlers. Like he's been so he really is. But I mean, that should be the mantra always.
Just give it to Ehlers.
But especially when you're down and you're trying to equalize it, because he really is just phenomenal. I mean, he set up on the Kopp goal. I mean, that's all him. Mm-hmm. The way he entered the zone, drew everybody to him, and fed it over to Stastny, fed it over to Kopp, and.
It's funny because as I was watching the game, and I mean, Ehlers at the end of the game, obviously his impact was overwhelming. But, you know, throughout the majority of the game, I thought this wasn't one of his more noticeable games.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
That just goes to show you just how skilled and how talented he is as a player, because all he needed was, I mean, you know, that's even discounting him setting up the Kopp goal, which I shouldn't mm-hmm. discount at all, because he certainly was the driving force there, gaining the zone, jamming on the brakes, finding Stastny, who found Kopp, bang, bang, bang. But even, you know, taking that play away, I thought, you know, he wasn't as noticeable. He wasn't as elusive as some of the other games we've seen recently where he hasn't been able to get on the scoreboard. And then, you know, the face-off draw late in the game with Connor Hellebuck on the bench, you know, he just picks up the puck. I mean, that shot. I mean, you're John Gibson. I mean, you've done everything you can there. That's just the kind of all you can do, I think, after the fact as a goaltender. If you're watching the tape the next night, what do you say aside from, I played it as well as I could, and I got beat by one of the best shots you're going to see? I mean, that's just what it was there by Nikolaj Ehlers. It was just absolutely a fantastic shot, an elite shot, and the Jets needed an elite shot from one of their elite players, and they got it. And then lo and behold, we all probably thought the game was going into overtime, but the Jets were able to go, as our buddy Dennis says, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And they get the win in the win column. Dean is right. You tip your hat. That's what I agree with Dean. You tip your hat to the goal scorer and say, you beat me. That was a hell of a shot.
Yeah. And I was going to say something, like I was going to actually agree with what, I think we both were going to Joe's comment, but you can go do it, Drew, if you want. But I was going to say, I think what you said earlier is true also. I think you can kind of see the team needs to get to 12-6 because 11-7, and you know, someone, I don't remember, I saw one of the comments just now. It was like Nate Beaulieu's, you know, shift it forward was legendary. It harkens back to when the Jets were using like Nelson Noje as a forward when they needed to, you know,
a Party Dangle playing the wing, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Going back to the newfie Adam Party.
So I think it's, you know, you can kind of see it a little bit out there. I mean, it's just, it's not ideal. I mean, and now obviously you don't have any options. It really is. And not just for the Jets. I mean, look what's happening around the league with teams dealing with players who are out. So, I mean, to me, I don't know. It's definitely a blip in the way they calculated the season, because it really is making, it doesn't make the hockey enjoyable, right? You're intentionally, not intentionally, but because of you didn't have the foresight to anticipate this, you're putting teams to be shorthanded essentially.
Yeah.
And so it's limiting the enjoyment, and that minimizes how good the product is. And, you know, look at the crowd. I mean, the crowd was atrocious.
Yeah,
right.
It's
down everywhere.
Yeah.
It's down everywhere. I'm not blaming Anaheim. I mean, it's down in Winnipeg. It's down in Toronto. It's down across the board. And there's a multitude of reasons, but the reality is that it's just one of those things that you just need to, I don't know that they would do something necessarily in the season, but it's a shame because it really is starting to, you know, deteriorate the quality of the hockey.
And it's really going to your point, and we talked about this, I think it was on Saturday show or the Saturday's post game, the days tend to blend together. What's going to eventually happen, and that's when it's really going to be bad, I mean, is that some of the guys who are healthy are going to end up suffering injuries as a result of just being overstrained, just being worked too hard, worked too much. I mean, it's not what I would describe as fair, the current situation, and it's a reality of the salary cap, but they should have made some sort of exception, you know, especially because it's not I don't want to talk about COVID, but I mean, that's the reality of it. The NHL erred in not making some sort of a exception to allow for this. Now, eventually, I don't know when it's going to be, eventually the Jets are going to be able to get enough salary cap space as they bank it day after day after day that they might be able to call up that 12th forward. But probably by then, Scheifele and or Wheeler should be back in the lineup. So we will see how that plays itself out. But let's get back to tonight's game. You know, the first, I thought this was a very Connor Hellebuck game from the Winnipeg Jets goaltender, especially early on in the game, that first period where the ice was heavily tilted in the Anaheim Ducks' favor. Connor Hellebuck, it was reminiscent of the last couple of years. Connor Hellebuck was what you expect to see from the Vezina Trophy winning goaltender. He kept the Jets in the game. He was big. He made the saves that were necessary. I mean, I don't think you can blame him. Sure, he gives up three goals in the course of the game, but I really don't think there's any of those three goals that you would say are his responsibility. There were three bad turnovers. You know, Nate Schmidt gave up the free pizza, and then we had the two free pizzas from Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Those were bad.
Tonight's game. Those were bad. Those were bad from Pierre-Luc Dubois. He looked to me, especially on that last one, I don't know that it was lazy. I thought it was tired. I thought that was a guy. I thought that was a tired play by Pierre-Luc Dubois in that instance. And he gets bailed out by Nikolaj Ehlers. Which is great to see from Ehlers' perspective. But otherwise, the narrative of tonight's game would be different in that we'd only be talking about Dubois. And it's not like he had a bad game in the offensive zone. He was impactful on that. On the first goal, the Svechnikov goal.
He made some plays. He had a couple of very poor giveaways. And you know, like the miscommunication between he and Pionk that led to that goal in the third period. Like, that's one of those things that you especially because you guys, there's two guys back, and you know, who was it, Milano or Zegras, who was forechecking? And so you're just sitting there going, like, come on, like, you really shouldn't be able to, with two of them back. I mean, they've got four sets of eyes that should be aware of what's going on, and it was just casual, and you don't want to see that. And you're right, maybe it is a set function of the fact that they're being the team being tired. But I mean, there's enough spacing between games that it shouldn't really. And obviously these guys are being used, right? Like, they're being used. You know, I didn't look at the minutes yet to see what it ended up at, but
it wasn't overwhelming for anybody. It really wasn't. I've got the minutes up here. It looks like the Jets were led in time on ice by Josh Morrissey at 21:37, which is not bad. It's not a huge number from a defense. Now, and you'd say, well, okay, there were seven defensemen, so it sort of makes a little sense that the defensive numbers would be reasonable. But even the forwards, I mean, I'm looking at forwards here. Andrew Kopp, 21:04, Paul Stastny, 21:33, which is a lot for, I think, for a player like Stastny right now. Even Ehlers didn't get up that high, only 19:23 for Ehlers. So Stastny led all forwards at 21:33. Not a huge number at all. I just think it's a function of game after game after game. It begins to add up on you, even with a couple days off in between. And that's why I think the Jets are really badly needing to get that 12th forward, or to get Shifley back, or to get Wheeler back. And I mean, I know that, you know, the slings and arrows that get shot Blake Wheeler's way, and he deserves, you know, a percentage of those slings and arrows, but there's no question that the Winnipeg Jets could still use him in their lineup, especially if it means they can get back up to full strength, in terms of their forward group.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, you know, you're missing your number one center. Mark Scheifele not being in the, thank you, AJ. We appreciate that. AJ got a couple of shirts from the IC locker room. We're appreciating that for sure. So you can't minimize not having your number one center, but teams across the league deal with injuries or these sorts of situations. And that's just the reality you have to deal with. So this is the easy early season adversity that the Winnipeg Jets are dealing with. And so the games aren't going to look pretty right now, right? And so you've strung together three wins in a row without one of your best players and without your captain, who can still be serviceable. So it's not as if you're, and like I said, one guy you could say, but two, that's a fairly significant number. So, it's not ideal when you're playing like that and Anaheim is dominating you for stretches of the game.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to take those 2 points. You're going to play an LA team that's, you know, oh, Layton's going to buy some IC merch. We like that, Layton. Thank you very much. But so you're going to go play a Kings team. And, you know, I don't know what the status of Doughty is after he took that hit. I'm not sure if he's going to play yet or not, but that's a young LA team. Maybe we'll see a young Brendan Lemieux. If he's in their lineup, I'm not sure even if he's there or if he's with Ontario right now. haven't, you know, got to keep our eyes focused on what's ahead as opposed to, you know, the next one down the road,
not looking too far ahead just yet.
Yeah. Not looking too far ahead, but anyway, so yeah, I mean, you take the 2 points, it's a stolen game, right? Because, you know, the Ducks probably deserve to win.
Yeah.
And so you're going to say, okay, you take those 2 points, 3 wins in a row without Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, again, does it seem likely that you're getting either of them back for the road trip? Doesn't seem likely based on all the rules of crossing the border and what Wheeler, you know, Wheeler was in Minnesota, whether he'd have to, he may be able to join. I think Dennis said on the broadcast, his first day available or something like that, provided obviously everything is testing out, you know, and we'll hear about that, whether that's what's happening with him, but you know, you may be able to get him, but it sounds like Scheifele, not so much because of having to cross the border, I think. So it sounds like the reality is for the next two games, you know, Thursday's and Saturday's games, you're going to be without at least one or two or both of those two players. So you're winning. You've got a bit of a winning formula. You know, Connor Hellebuyck is back to, for the most part, the Connor Hellebuyck. I think, like I said, Joe's illustrated it earlier in our show that, Tim D is picking up Drew's from Drew's garage. I don't like that.
Looking good, Tim.
What about Dave's fashionista or whatever my little section of the store is called? I got all the good stuff. I got the new era hats.
I got
the Nike wet dry shirts.
It's all good. It's not a competition. It's all good.
Bova Jones says they're crashing the merch store. I like that. Well just, you know what? Hey, Bova, while you're, if the merch store isn't working right now, then you know what? That's fine. Just smash the like button and you'll get to the merch store after. Keep listening to the show. Enjoy the show. We'll deal with that after. But yeah, no, I mean, I and again, you're not here to make excuses, but I just think that's definitely an element that's missing for the Winnipeg Jets right now is two of their top players or one of their better players and Blake Wheeler. So, you know, guys are stepping up. Pierre-Luc Dubois played well for the most part. Today was not one of his best games.
Yeah.
I actually thought earlier in the game they were playing fine and he looked like he was good. I just thought that there, like you said, Drew, whether he was tired or whatever, there were some farts, you know, like the first dump up the middle is bad. Then the next one, you're like, okay, like that's really bad. And, you know,
that was just stuff that you don't do that you learn not to do in youth hockey.
Yeah. I mean, the blind pass up the middle in the NHL generally is not something that you should be, you know, engaging in. So, that wasn't ideal. And yeah. So then you look at the rest of the lineup and you're right. It was a fairly quiet game for Nikolaj Ehlers, aside from, you know, like when he got it going and he fed Stasny to Kopp, that was a phenomenal play. His zone entries are like remarkable. Like it really is. It's amazing how we've watched him for this many years and he still does the things he does and you're amazed by it. And, you know, Drew, you said it and it's true. Like, when he put that puck in that, there was no net. John Gibson left him like that much space and he was able to find it and score. So, I mean, he really is a remarkable player and like, not that anybody was worried. I mean, I know there were those stories which were, you know, a bit ridiculous about Nikolaj Ehlers not getting a point in 4 games as if somehow that was like the sky was falling. But yeah, I didn't think there was any concern with his game based on what he's been generating and creating. And that I think was, you know, further confirmed based on what we saw tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just really what it was. And you know, the Winnipeg Jets needed this one. They needed a game where they could sort of pull it out of their fire, where they, not that they've been their best really at any point in any of the victories so far, but this is the kind of game where, you know, a good team, when they're not at their best, can somehow win a game like they can tonight. And the Jets envision themselves as one of those good teams, as one of those upper echelon teams in the league, and they were able to do it. It wasn't pretty by any stretch of the imagination, but they were able to still manage away. And you know, you got to feel a little bit for the Ducks because they deserved a better fate in tonight's contest. And then just, you know, the puck bounced the way for the Jets when earlier in the season there were so many times it hadn't bounced in the way. In that first road trip, the puck wasn't necessarily bouncing their way. Tonight it bounces the Winnipeg Jets way. It bounces their way, especially late in the game, and as a result the Jets are able to squeak out and escape from Anaheim with that 4-3 victory, improving on the season to 3-2-1, it hasn't been pretty at all. Those six games have not been, you know, there's none of those six games that you would bottle up and say this is how our game should look necessarily. But think about where we were at this time, say last week, when people were a lot more apoplectic and people were, you know, this was right after the Minnesota game last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. And,
yeah.
You know, that and the chaos that ensued after that game. Well, everybody, you know, can sort of take that deep breath. And now you see a team that was once 2-1 is now 3-2-1 with two more games to go on this road trip. And they're feeling, everybody's feeling a little bit better about themselves in terms of the on ice performance. The off ice stuff we'll get to a little bit later on. But you know, I have to give credit to, I think, the defense as well. A lot of the defensemen in tonight's game, I thought Josh Morrissey had a very solid game for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Nate Schmidt obviously had that bad giveaway that led to the first Ducks goal. But again, another solid game from Josh Morrissey from my perspective, where he wasn't necessarily flashy, but you don't need flash all the time, but he was just solid. He had a good active stick in preventing a lot of the Ducks opportunities, and that's what the Jets want from him. They want him to be just the solid defenseman that they paid all that money for so many years ago.
Yeah, and just Tracy's saying that the league has changed it to Ehlers. I actually didn't think Stasny touched it.
It's back to Ehlers again now?
That's what I think Tracy just said that in the chat. So
yes, it is. According to the I just flipped on the game summary here.
Yeah. So it's not a surprise because I didn't actually think that. Oh, I just saw that comment from Kenny. Kenny's water bottle saying the new Icy shirts are made from 100% of Ezzy's beard, which is definitely not true. We wouldn't be allowed to sell those in Canada. But
you're not allowed to sell animal fur
exactly
t-shirts.
So it ends up being a two goal game for Nikolaj Ehlers. And that's just shocking, right? It's just, it really was I was expecting to see OT in this one, but I mean, good on the Jets. They smelled a little bit of an opportunity, and that's one of the advantages, right? From a young Anaheim Ducks team, which kind of probably thought that game was in the bag. A little bit surprised that they got caught, you know, with the Ehlers taking advantage of the chaos on the draw when he equalized the game. So I think they were probably caught off guard a little bit. And then, you know, the Jets managed to, you know, force the issue and tied the game. I mean, took and won the game late. So, you know, full marks for pulling off, like I said, stealing 2 points maybe. And they didn't escape Anaheim, though, just to correct you. They are going to practice tomorrow in Anaheim before they go to LA.
How about they escape the Ducks? They don't necessarily escape the city.
And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, the Jets have played six games already and three of them were against Anaheim. I mean, it's crazy to think that's, you know, it's almost like AHL style or the Canadian League from last year where you had these series. And we didn't really see a lot of the hate, that, especially given the cop hit on Gibson in game one. You know, you thought maybe there'd be a little more animosity. There really wasn't. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah. So it was just kind of funny that the season series of between the Jets and the Ducks is now complete. So anyways, good for the Jets to be able to walk out with an extra 2 points in the bank, not have to, you know, a regulation win. Those were always important to get as well, especially when, you know, you look around the Central and teams like St. Louis keep winning. Minnesota, I think they won tonight. So
Colorado lost tonight. So, I mean, look, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, these games matter. It's cliche, admittedly. And
yeah,
of course. I've never been one to not use cliches, so I'm not all high and mighty. But, the games matter just as much now as they do later on in the season. So the Jets get the victory, and that's certainly important for them on a night like tonight. The Jets opened the scoring. Let's start back. Evgeny Svechnikov, great, you know, good for him. He gets his first of the season. This comes early in the second period at the 2:07 mark. Svechnikov from Dubois and Connor. And I mean, it was just an absolutely beautiful passing play. And Svechnikov has that chemistry with, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and they've had that chemistry for a while now, going back to junior, which we talked
about, the
Cape Breton Screaming Eagles. And, you know, he knew exactly where to be at the right time. And he just absolutely was there, and he took the pass from Dubois. Dubois set him up, teed him up, and Svechnikov was a first round pick in the NHL for a reason. It's because he can score goals like that. And Gibson had no chance, and the Jets feel good about themselves with that 1-0 lead. Doesn't last especially long, only lasts 3 minutes, just under 3 minutes. Sonny Milano gets his first of the year for the Anaheim Ducks with an assist to Trevor Zegras. I thought Zegras and Milano were the two best players for the Ducks in tonight's game. Sonny Milano especially, I thought, was just a fantastic player for the Ducks, noticeable throughout the course of the game, forechecking like a demon, and really had the Jets on their heels almost every time he was on the ice. So I was very impressed with the young Ducks forward trying to establish himself after bouncing around. I think he was originally, if I recall correctly, a Predators draft pick a few years ago, and he certainly seems to fit in right now with the Anaheim Ducks.
Sorry, Drew. I muted myself so I could look at some of the comments here. But and if you look at I was just looking at Natural Stat Trick too, and like, for the most part, it's fairly even, right? The expected goals were 2.27 for the Jets at 5-on-5, 2.63 for the Ducks. High danger chances, the Ducks out-chanced the Jets 15-12, and then scoring chances were 31-28. So, you know, it was fairly even overall. And again, yeah, there's definitely, look, that Trevor Zegras is going to be quite the player for Anaheim. I mean, he already is kind of quite the player, but he really is just going to continue to develop and you can just see he seems to be a special player, and he's got, you know, he and Josh Morrissey were having a little bit of hate, but he certainly looks like a guy who they drafted, right? And he's going to become, like I said, going to become quite a player for them. So you see it with his Ducks team. And I think that's, like I said, the Jets, I think, took advantage of the reality of that being a young team late in the game. And I think that's one of those things that's good for the Jets. Like I said, it wasn't pretty. And, you know, one of the comments in the chat was, you know, this is, you take the 2 points and you walk away. And it's true. And, you know, and the key is banking these points. And we talked about, oh, that's right. James is saying.
James is right. James corrected me.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not above correcting each other.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Especially when it's you or Ezzy. But the reality is we're definitely fine with that. No, I mean, you know, you'll bank it. You'll be happy to have it. And, you know, one of the things that, especially when the Jets got off to that 0-2-1 start, mm-hmm. is that you talked about, A, it's a fairly soft schedule for the Jets, and B, you really can't afford to be losing points this early in the season. Well, you've now reeled off three straight wins. And again, like I said, you're doing it without 55-26. So that's a testament to the depth, I guess, of this team. And so you'll see what you can do, but you're going against an LA team that's not a powerhouse. You're going against a Sharks team, which, you know, is catching people by surprise. No question
well
about
so far this year.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they're catching people by surprise based on what they've done. So, it should make for an interesting trip, but it, you know, the whole point is that the Jets team aren't elite, you know, like Nate Schmidt said to me in the summer, Tampa Bay, well, traditionally before the season started, Tampa Bay was up here and everybody else has to aspire to get to that level. And so, you know, look, you're seeing some of those things happen that are early on in the season where there's miscommunications, guys finding each other, you know, especially, I thought Pionk and Dylan maybe looked a little bit better, a little more comfortable together than we'd seen them traditionally.
Yeah, they've had a greater learning curve in terms of comfort than Schmidt and Morrissey. Schmidt and Morrissey seem to just sort of hit the ground or hit the ice running, skating, mm-hmm. as the case may be. But Dylan and Pionk, I think, have taken a few extra games to sort of get a feel for everybody.
But I think like Brendan Dillon's game. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should answer it the way Brendan Dillon would do it. Brendan Dillon is playing the best type of game when Brendan Dillon is not that noticeable.
Jimmy's going to get you, Kramer.
Yeah. And I think, but it's true. And I think that's kind of the key for him, is that you don't want to hear him a lot. He just makes solid plays in front of the net, kills plays, you know, clears the front of the net away from Connor Hellebuyck, and, you know, and gets, and he's fairly, you know, adept, I think, at getting the puck up to his forwards quickly and, get, you know, transitioning. So I thought he played a better game. And like I said, I think it's one of those situations where you've got that pairing to me of the three, because we knew DeMello and Stanley were fine from last year. Morrissey and Schmidt had seemed to find chemistry in the preseason and continue that into the regular season. It was the Dylan and Pionk one that was had the most uncertainty. And I just think, like, it looked a little bit more, you know, natural between them, I would suggest today.
Are you expecting to see Comrie on Thursday night? I'm expecting to see Comrie on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't heard that officially. I mean, I don't know what Paul Maurice is saying right now in his post-game comments. I can't be in two places at once, despite my request to be cloned. Hasn't happened yet. Not that he would necessarily announce it tonight or anything this morning, as the case may be.
But yeah.
I would sort of expect that if you're going to see Eric Comrie, it's probably going to be Thursday night against the Kings.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because, like, how many shots did the Kings end up getting on net? Was it
let me find the, you're asking me the difficult questions.
Was it 20?
No, the Ducks, you mean?
Sorry, Ducks. I said the Kings. I was reading something else.
No, the Ducks ended up with 35 shots on
35. Net. Sorry. Yeah. I was looking at the 5-on-5 numbers. I have some for whatever. The point is,
you're that, okay, 5-on-5.
I gotcha. But the point is that, if you're going to give Eric Comrie a start, LA kind of seemed like a natural place. And I know Paul Maurice had said, when asked about his goalie plan 2-3 days ago by one of the guys, he wouldn't reveal it, but essentially said, he's for sure getting that back-to-back.
That Friday, the Islanders, Saturday, back-to-back.
Is that Hawks, Islanders?
Hawks on the Friday, Islanders on the Saturday.
That's what I meant. But those two teams on the Friday, Saturday. So we know he's going to get one of those games. The only question mark was whether he would get, you know, the Thursday game. And you actually, I think you said it first on the show on Saturday that you thought, you anticipated that if he was going to get any of the games of the trip, that would be the game.
Sure.
And I agreed with you. I think that seems like the most likely game to give Eric Comrie. Mm-hmm. Not because he's a guy who's from California or lives in California, grew up in California and based out of there, but because it just kind of the way it fits, you know. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck has made 6 straight starts to start the season. We know he's, you know, going to be, especially pre Olympic break in February, he's going to get a lot of starts, but you're going to have to start spelling them off eventually. And so, yeah, I think to me, Thursday night makes sense. We'll see. I mean, maybe they want to remove the pressure of having him play his first game at home and feeling that home pressure. You can go on the road.
Yeah,
and have that kind of that element removed. So we'll see how they do it. Yeah, I mean, we'll get a more insight tomorrow. Via the practice.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. Murat tweeting about what Paul Maurice is saying in the post game media availabilities.
Sure.
Murat saying Paul Maurice just said we may see Blake Wheeler on the ice tomorrow.
Okay.
So if he, which is, I'm a little surprised by that. If he practices tomorrow, I suspect that means he plays Thursday. I wouldn't go that far.
You don't. Yeah, I mean, we don't know what his training's been like since. Right.
No question. But I mean, I thought that it would have been that they were going to try and get him at least that one practice before getting him into the lineup.
Maybe, now, but maybe I mean, I mean, that's an interesting note from Murat, who's out in California right now.
He's on the road.
So he's on the road trip along with Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely interesting. And that's what we talked about earlier, right? Like, of the two players who were, you know, out on under the COVID protocols, Blake Wheeler seemed like the more likely because he was already in Minnesota and didn't have to cross the border and that sort of thing. So, so we'll find out about that, I guess, tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But that's I would think that, even if he practices tomorrow, if he is, my guess is they probably hold him out and maybe play him on Saturday. But that's just, I mean, that's speculation.
That would give him another practice in addition to tomorrow's practice, because they're practicing on Friday as well. Tweet from our buddy Mike McIntyre says that he'll be stunned if Eric Comrie doesn't get his first start of the season on Thursday in Los Angeles. So it sort of seems like everything is lining up for Comrie to likely be in goal on Thursday night as the Jets go into LA for the first time to see the Kings this season. Obviously, time will tell, and the place to find all that information will undoubtedly be, Dave, what website?
A little site called illegalcurve.com, where if you click on the merch button,
you
can go to the IC locker room and buy your clothing designed, not by us, but we all have our own stuff. But I'm actually looking forward to the mini sticks.
I'm going to buy a couple for my kids already.
Yeah, why not? Mini sticks.
I need to get my shins bruised by an illegal curved stick. The current sticks that they're using to bruise my shins just don't line up. They're not good enough. I need to get my legs hacked to the bone by my kids using illegal curved mini sticks.
You know what I should have had when we were talking about producing all of this, and we got we're talking about the mini sticks. We should have had the mini sticks produced with an actual illegal curve.
That would have been
a little bit more apropos.
I was going to say that would have been very on point, and yes, and you know, definitely on the nose, as the expression goes.
Yeah.
Let's take our break. When we come sure. back, we have to talk about the news of the day. I mean, the Jets.
About the good, team moving the game time by an hour?
Not that one. That was good, too. That the game on the West, the day of the Western Final, the Jets were supposed to play at 6. They're now playing at 7, so fans can go to the Bomber game for 3:30, cheer on the Bombers as hopefully they'll win the West Division, and they should, given how dominant they've been, and then they can come back to the arena to see the Jets and the Leafs in a heated Sunday night game. That did happen. That wasn't the news of the day. You know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. So when we come back, we talk about the news from Chicago as it pertains to Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff as well. Stick with us. Also want to give a shout out to the Winnipeg Ice. Victors, again, Joe from Winnipeg reminding us in the chat, they go for the record. They've tied the record for most consecutive victories with tonight's win. They go for the record tomorrow night in Calgary after they beat Red Deer tonight. So shout out to the Winnipeg Ice for their tremendous start to the season as well. Things going well for Winnipeg sports teams, be it the Ice, the Moose, they won on the weekend as well, and of course the Bombers and the Jets. Stick with us. You're watching the Illegal Curve post game show. We'll be right back after these commercial messages. Wednesday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve hockey show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, the Illegal Curve post game show to be precise. The Jets victors pulling out the victory in Anaheim when it certainly appeared as though defeat was more likely. A 4-3 win for the Winnipeg Jets. They improve on the season to a record of 3-2-1. Will be in action on Thursday night. Note the start time for Thursday night's game, 9:30 p.m. So even a little bit later than tonight's game, which means the post-game show will likely begin Friday morning, about 10 after 12, maybe quarter after 12 on Friday morning.
Until so, it goes to overtime, Drew.
Oh boy, Dave, you're killing me here, buddy. But anyways, it'll be a late night for us, but that's okay. We enjoy everybody joining us on this now Wednesday morning to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. And then again, reminder that we'll do it again on Friday morning after the Jets and the Kings. Dave, the news of the day prior to the game taking place was out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Where the report was unveiled regarding the sexual misconduct that occurred under the watch of the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2010. The Jets general manager back at that time, Kevin Cheveldayoff, the current general manager, at that time was the assistant general manager, and back in July issued a statement saying that he found out about the sexual assault allegations committed by Brad Aldrich, or alleged to have been committed by Brad Aldrich. He, you know, never went to court, so I'll say alleged to keep myself from getting sued or anything. He said he found out about those shortly after Aldrich was no longer a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. That happened about, you know, that happened in late June, following the Chicago Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup, following Brad Aldrich being allowed to celebrate with the Chicago Blackhawks. The report came out earlier today that Kevin Cheveldayoff was, I'm going to say, he was not precise with his time frame as to when he found out about it. It was found out that he found out about it prior to the end of the Stanley Cup final, prior to the Stanley Cup final even beginning. He found out about it the night that the Chicago Blackhawks won the Western Conference. His statement, you know, there was probably a 3-week disparity between the statement that he issued in July and that what the report said earlier today. What is going to be the fate of Kevin Cheveldayoff, and what is going to be the outcome of Kevin Cheveldayoff as it pertains to his current employment as the Winnipeg Jets? I think my perspective is that I think that it is unlikely that he is going to lose his job over this. I believe that that is not the correct decision. Let me be perfectly clear. I'm saying what I think is going to happen is that True North will, and the NHL will, suspend him. I don't know this for fact, of course, because that Gary Bettman commissioner is going to meet with Kevin Cheveldayoff. He's going to meet with Joel Quenneville to dole out an appropriate punishment, whatever that might be. I would like to see proactive.
Although you should be clear, he never actually said that there's going to be a punishment. They just said that he's going to meet with them. So I'm just saying, just to be clear.
Absolutely. No question about that. I like Kevin Shoveldayoff off as a person, so I take no pleasure at all in saying what I'm saying. I think he has forfeited the right to be involved in professional hockey. So has Joel Quenneville. So has Stan Bowman. So has everybody in the Chicago Blackhawks organization that took a blind eye to what occurred.
Mm-hmm.
They have a duty to not pass the buck to somebody else. When it became apparent that John McDonough, as president of the Blackhawks at that time, mm-hmm. or Stan Bowman, as the general manager of the Blackhawks at that time, when it became apparent that they were not going to do what is right, it was incumbent on all the other people, players, management, everybody, to not stand idly by. And I'm not surprised for a second that they didn't do what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Because hockey culture is the not going against, not speaking out is more important in hockey culture than doing what is right, no matter who gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You have multiple people who got hurt directly as a result of the inactions of many quote-unquote adults. Children, after Aldrich left the organization, children got hurt because of his actions, that he only was able to get into those positions because the Blackhawks didn't do it the right thing. And that means Bowman, that means McDonough, that means players, that means Shoveldayoff, everybody didn't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had my druthers, if I was handing out the punishments, that would be my punishment. You have forfeited the right to work in hockey. I don't believe that will ultimately end up being the punishment.
Right.
I believe that it will end up being a suspension of some variety. I think that'll be weak. I think that will not do anything to change the culture of hockey, change the rot that exists within the industry and has continued to exist within the industry for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a shame. I think it's an absolute travesty. And I have kids, two young kids, and frankly, if they never play organized hockey, it won't upset me. And I mean, my kids have my genes. They're not going to be great hockey players, no matter what happens. So I'm not worried about their NHL career. But you see so much of the rot of hockey, even filtering down into youth hockey and junior hockey, where you have parents who are out of control and you have hockey officials, not on ice officials, but hockey people who are in charge who don't do the right thing. We're more worried about nonsense involving all-star teams and 13-year-olds excelling and just the lack of perspective that permeates the game of hockey is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it's ever going to change until you put some heads on stakes. And I take no pleasure in saying that. And I take no, and I'm not trying to get up on my high horse or anything. And I'm not trying to preach and be holier than thou. I'm really not. It's just at some point in time, something needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that, you know, and I I apologize. We know I'm going on a bit of a soliloquy here, and I'll let you get in.
But no, I mean, it's fine. It's only been 10 minutes.
I look at the comments from Kevin Sheveldayoff, and we were all, after the report came out this afternoon, you and I, we were texting, we were waiting for his comments and waiting for a statement from him. And I think it was really a bad look that Paul Maurice had to be the first member of the Winnipeg Jets organization to meet with the media after the report was issued. And he met with the media because the Jets, you know, game day skate had just finished and that's the routine. And he was put into an unenviable position. And Paul Maurice, you know, did he handle it perfectly? No. Am I willing to say that, you know, he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't? Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, I'll criticize Paul Maurice because I've been known to do that, but I'll do it for something other than this time in this instance. Mm-hmm. But then Kevin Sheveldayoff comes out with that statement that he issued that was perfectly in Chevy speak. In that it said absolutely nothing. It was, you know, two paragraphs long, and it was just a jumble of words, none of which got to the heart of the issue. Mm-hmm. And it's the continued obfuscation that bothers me the most at this point. That he, now I don't know if it's a lawyer advising him. I don't know who's, you know, giving him advice, or if it's his own thinking himself. But to not acknowledge what happened under your watch, or at least partially under your watch, even tonight, earlier tonight, last night, as the case may be, it's now 12:30 in the morning. It bothers me additionally. Mm-hmm. It just seems like he has not learned that what he didn't do 11 years ago continues. And by not back in July, when he issued that first statement, if he had been more truthful rather than, you know, playing games of semantics, I think he would be able to, I don't know if I'd be more sympathetic or more willing to forgive, but I would be able to swallow it a little bit better. But to come out in July and not be honest, not be perfectly forthcoming with your statement, bothers me. To not, and then to double, not double down, but to not, to continue to hide behind what I'll call weasel words with his statement tonight, bothers me even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly don't know what it's going to take to change what should be a better game. The sport and the activity is a great activity, but the culture of it and the people who are involved in it more often than not appear to not have their priorities in hand. And unfortunately, Kevin Sheveldayoff seems to be one of those people as well. I'll stop now.
I don't think there's anything left for me to say. I think, you know, I think, first of all, I think the key for me is allowing people to draw their own conclusions. And I've got all the information up on illegalcurve.com if you want to read about it.
Yeah.
And so you can read the report. It has a link to the report. It has a statement about Kevin Sheveldayoff. It has Kevin's comments that the Jets released in July. It has his comments from today. Mm-hmm. that the team, you know, released. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add, Drew. I mean, I think you kind of hit it out of the park, really, with all that you've just said. So I would just be repeating a lot of the same things. I think there's a reason why we have good Samaritan laws in the States sometimes, because, you know, sometimes people have a tendency, if it's not impacting them, to not say anything, not do anything. And, you know, look, I'm not going to make excuses for anyone, because, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, I think the focus needs to be on what happened, you know, as a result of this person being allowed to continue on and be involved in the game of hockey, and you know, the people that were victimized as a result of that act. And I think that that's kind of what, you know, burns me, you know, when I think about this. But, you know, to your point about not being, it's hard, right? It would be hard. It's, you know, like how many people really stood up and did the right thing in this entire situation? There were a lot of people that knew about it. Right.
And sorry, let me just interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
You know, what people may or may not understand is that the NHL and the hockey world is worse than your worst junior high as it pertains to gossip. So I don't expect the entire league in 2010 to be punished for as a result. But my strong, strong belief is that this was known far wider than just within the Chicago Blackhawks organization.
That's, yeah, and that's not what I'm I'm actually not suggesting that.
Though. I know.
That's not,
I know you're not. No, I just wanted to mention that.
Sure, but I guess what I was saying is like I said, that's the reason why, you know, there's good Samaritan laws, right? If mm-hmm. you're standing by while someone is being murdered, you know, in some places you can be charged, right? If you're just going to stand recording. So I think, you know, that's unfortunately what we see an example of here, right? And there's an element to say, well, you know, the head of the organization knew what was happening.
Yeah.
It was in their hands to deal with it realistically. Well, and that's why I thought your comment was right about just be honest. You know, you could, I mean, you, even if like, there's not a lot of culpability, you know, does it look good on you if you didn't do anything? No. But I mean, like, if you're not being forthright, that's where you get burnt. And the truth is, you know, the reality is they have good lawyers who draft this stuff, you know, these statements up. But the reality is the one that the line that, you know, kind of stood out to me in Kevin's comments from the summer were the until asked element. Mm-hmm. That's the part that, you know, I you know, the full comment is, I had no knowledge of any allegations involving Mr. Aldridge until asked if I was aware of anything just prior to the conclusion of his employment with the Chicago Blackhawks. Well, that until asked is a fairly substantial, dangling thing. So again, I don't want to get too far into the weeds. Like I said, I think people can form their own opinions. I'm not going to try and tell you what to think mm-hmm. and what to believe. I think you should read the independent report if you're interested in it. And you're right. I take zero pleasure in any of this because it's an unfortunate situation for mostly the victims. Those are the people who have to be focused on the most because what happened to them was brutal. And you know, and again, like, clean it up. And we can't act like surprised. Like, I'm like, again, I hate to say it. Like, I'm not trying to be some, like, I'm jaded and you know, hardened to the world because I'm generally a fairly positive person. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be shocked, not because I see this all the time and I'm, you know, I see a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but like, I just think that it doesn't shock me to see that kind of cone of silence when something like this happens. So
that's just it. And I mean, Joel Quenneville's comments, I mean, were as heinous as it gets. Well, we can't have it disturb. Or John McDonough too, the then president of Blackhawks. Well, we've come this far in the Stanley Cup playoffs and this far in the season, and we can't have it disturb us now right before the final. It's the video coach, guys. Not that it should excuse anybody if it's the greatest player on the team. But mm-hmm. are you guys, I mean, you know, they are so far up their own asses sometimes that they can't understand what they are excusing. Or they refuse to understand what they're excusing, and they're so wrapped up in their own egos and in their own accomplishments that, yeah, you won the Stanley Cup. Congratulations, Joel Quenneville. You've also looked the other way and allowed a molester to stay within your organization,
mm-hmm.
to sully... should have sullied if they were self-aware enough their Stanley Cup celebrations, and then to not fire him. And this is to not fire him and then mm-hmm. to give him a good reference so that he can go get jobs working at high schools.
Yeah.
High schools. I mean,
yeah, I know. Like I said, it's disgusting. And again, like I said, I think it's important for people to be aware because, you know, unfortunately it does put a bit of a dull on the shine of a game that, like you said, we all love hockey, right? Whether you love the NHL or playing shinny, you know, in the winters, mm-hmm. like you love the game. You love things about the game. There's things about the game that are less than pure, than less than when you just go out and play shinny with your friends in the backyard. You know, like that's the pure element of the game that we all love. You extrapolate that, you know, the NHL, there's elements of it you still love, but there's, you know, like any, and again, the one thing I don't want to come across, because I don't believe it, is that this is somehow limited to hockey, because that's not, that's just not fact-based. I mean, this is across the board. You see this in universities, you see this in other sports leagues. This is not a hockey problem. This is it's a societal issue, I think.
It's societal and it's societal for sure. It's not exclusive to hockey, but hockey, I think hockey refuses to acknowledge that they have a problem in how they deal with it.
Well, and you know, look, the reality is this, sometimes unless you get punched in the face, you don't deal with something. And, you know, with all the situation with, you know, the Hockey Diversity Alliance, like that wasn't going to happen unless they got punched in the face. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that like hockey sometimes has to be dragged kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And the irony is, of course, is that they try and pretend like they're the ones who are at the forefront. But the reality is, more often than not, if they would be able to keep the shine, that's what they're going to do. So again, like, you know, we obviously have to talk about it because it was massive news. Mm-hmm. And it was of substance, and again, like I said, it's going to continue to have reverberations in the days and months to come. And I'm with you. I don't see this ending with termination. I think there'll be a punishment, but I'm not entirely certain what that will be. And again, I'm not judging as to what is the appropriateness of those actions.
No, the fan base.
Because the truth is, I don't own the team.
Yeah,
like that's
the fan
that's
base will determine. Will speak with their dollars. That's how you apply pressure to organizations.
If they want, and like I said, and part of this is there'll be a PR element of it. Like sadly, like I said, it'll be something we'll continue to monitor and we'll keep people abreast as to what's going on. But I think the most important thing is for people to do your own reading. Don't just read something on Twitter in 180 characters or less and take that for as the Holy Grail. Read for yourself and learn about it, and then you can draw your own conclusions.
Absolutely. Exactly right. Don't listen to me as gospel.
You have your opinion and you're entitled to an opinion.
I'm giving my educated opinion. Do your own research. That's right. You know, the report is available on illegalcurve.com. There's some great articles and columns that have been written. You know, read them, do your own research, make your own determination as to how you think it should be handled. If you are so inclined and you want to express your opinion to the organization, do that as well. That's absolutely up to you. You don't have to do it. Don't have to do anything if you don't want to. And I just wanted to, we have to address it. We have to talk about it.
I have a question though. How are we going to segue back to selling Illegal Curve merch?
Not very smoothly. That much I can assure you. Not very smoothly. You know what?
Okay. So let's just do it anyways. Smash the like button and buy IC merch.
That's
the overarching theme of tonight's broadcast, right. which I'm assuming is slowly ending.
That's right. We're going to wrap it up now. The link again to the Illegal Curve merchandise, that's available on our website, illegalcurve.com. You'll see the merch button.
Yeah.
You know, click that. It'll take you, you know, you'll find the link. Go right there. In case for whatever reason you can't find it, just tweet at one of us, @ IC Dave, @ IC Drew, @ IC SEG, who knows where the hell he is. But, you can certainly find one of us. Big thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bagel Smith. We're going to be giving away some bagels coming up.
Oh, wait, I have moose tickets to give away.
Oh, okay. Give away some moose tickets.
I know, but I didn't run a contest. I didn't do anything. Who wants to go to the moose game? I've got four tickets.
Who's still here at 12? Yeah,
we've got 230 people still. Who can go to the moose game on Saturday?
Okay. Dave's giving
away. I've got four tickets. So if anybody's interested in going to the moose game, or I can, you know what? I also can do two and two. Or if four of you all want to go together and have a friendship from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show or post game show, as it is, the case may be, there you go. I mean, we've got those Moose tickets. So, you know, send me a tweet at IC Dave and I will, I'll pick some winners. Or you can send me an email at dave@illegalcurve.com and I will, pick winners. The Moose are playing the Iowa Wild. Moose are playing some exciting hockey. Won both games, swept the Grand Rapids Griffins. David Gustafson, game-winning goal in the shootout. Arvid Holm, ladies and gentlemen, if you thought Mikael Burton was going to be the only entertaining goaltender in Manitoba, Arvid Holm, the Jets' 2017 sixth rounder, he's also a pretty entertaining character, made a very dangerous play in overtime. Eric Dubois, the assistant coach, father of Pierre-Luc Dubois, came out and spoke after the game and was asked by Mike Sawatzka, the Free Press, about, you know, Arvid Holm being interesting. And Eric Dubois' response was, have you ever met a goalie that isn't interesting? So definitely interesting team and a lot of, like I said, Cole Perfetti. Simon Lundmark, the Jets' 2019 second rounder. I thought he had a great game.
It's 12:45 in the morning, my man.
I can keep on going. Does anybody want more Moose talk? So anyways, I won't keep Drew up any longer. You guys can all go to Kenny and Rennie. But yeah, if anybody wants to go to the Moose game, hit me up, IC Dave or dave@illegalcurve.com. And the games are both 2 o'clock, Saturday, Sunday. I've got tickets for both. Giving them away.
And it's Halloween on Sunday, so you can dress up in a costume. You can buy your Illegal Curve gear, or get it rush delivered to you in time for Sunday, and you can dress up as us to go to the Moose game on Sunday. So hit up Dave at IC Dave or dave@illegalcurve.com. I guess I'm going to give away a tough duck toque, courtesy of our friends of Tough Duck. And Loken, you've been in the chat for a while. You had some good comments. You said that you admire my passion. Basically, anybody who compliments me, I'll give them a gift. So, Loken, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or tweet at me, @ICDrew. You can slide into my DMs, and we'll make sure that we hook you up with a I meant that in the completely platonic way, in the toque way, Dave.
Sorry,
and dude. Loken, you can send me that message, and we'll make sure you get your toque, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Want to also give a shout out to our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. We had an IC game-winning goal contest. Hashtag ICGWG. We're going to bring this back. Yeah, on a fairly regular basis. So stick with us on our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve, and we're going to give away some tickets to the Rumors. I think we actually had two people select Nikolai Ehlers for the game-winning goal. So I'm going to have to look into that. I'll probably do that more tomorrow morning than now, because it is 12:45 in the morning. But I'll get in touch with the winners in that case. Big thank you to everybody for joining us on this was it Wednesday morning?
Yeah, Thursday morning at this point. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's Wednesday morning.
I've still got 2 hours of work to do, Drew.
That's good. You're a night owl. We'll remind you, we'll be back on Friday morning, as it happens to be, after the Jets and the Kings game. So right around midnight, maybe 5 minutes after midnight on Friday morning, come back here to our YouTube page. We do the Illegal Curve post-game show after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. Dave Minuk is the man on the right of the screen, at least the right of my screen. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Until Friday morning, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.